Pray together. Our holy, merciful Father God, who always loves us, you've saved our soul and made us your children. You gave us this precious hope of entering heaven. For all this grace, we give you praise, glory. In this time, we born-again Christians gather together in your bodily church. We ask you to, you always help us to live a life with obedience. Through this time, we hope to give you praise and have fellowship in your bodily church. For that, we are thankful. We ask Holy Spirit be with us and look into each, every one of us and hold us with your mighty hands. With your grace, love, and power, fill us with those so that we be more, reach more perfection, so that for the rest of our lives we may not lack anything living our life for you. Last week there was a Bible seminar, and we thank you that you led many people to salvation. There are many brothers and sisters who are newly born again. For the rest of their lives, help them stay with Holy Spirit and live a life glorifying your name with your guidance and help. I also pray for brothers and sisters who are not with us this time. Heal those who are sick, so that they may be able to live their life for you. And I also pray for those who are being tested in their heart, who are fragile in their heart. Give them the same portion of grace and words so that they can be held by your hands. I also pray for churches all over the world. Be with them and give them your protection. They are going through afflictions and tribulations, but they are still keeping their faith. Help each and every one of them. Hold them with your words and hands so that they will be able to preach your word with confidence and boldly. And I also ask you to reveal the words to us. Help us understand your intentions and plans toward us, and help us to understand your guidance, and teach us the things we ought to do in our life. I ask all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn our Bible to Psalms 75. Psalm 75, from verse 1 till the end. I'll read odd verses and you read even verses. 75. We give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks. For your wondrous works declare that your name is near. The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. I set up its pillars firmly. Do Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with a stiff neck. But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. But I will declare forever, I'll sing praises to the God of Jacob. Choir will praise. Let's turn our Bible to Romans 12. Romans 12. From verse 3 to 8, I'm going to go ahead and read that for you. Romans 12, from verse 3 to 11. 3 to 11. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Last week, we had a Bible seminar in the afternoon. There were many, many participants. They all listened well. Then they accepted the love of Jesus Christ, and many people were actually saved. And many brothers and sisters prayed and sacrificed and put their efforts into this Bible seminar, and I personally thank you. So, we all are born in this world to understand, to learn about the love of God. And for the born-again Christians, we still live in this world so that we can pay back the love God gave us. So both newly born-again Christians and original members, we all need to remember that we are saved under same grace and same love. So we call each other brothers and sisters. We have the same faith and same hope. So the purpose, we have the same purpose of life. Ephesians 2:19 says, you're not Gentiles, you're not guests. We are the citizens of God. We are family members of God. So after being born again, our flesh still belongs to this world, but we have a citizenship of heaven. So we don't live in this world permanently. It's a temporary place. So we all desire for, yearn for, look for the life in heaven. There won't be in heaven, there won't be any sadness, any sufferings, no curses. It's a holy, glorious place. That's our inheritance. We now have that right to live in this world, in the heaven. And after salvation, you don't live alone. Now we are a member of this congregation, of this born-again Christian group. So it says in the Bible, we are grateful that God called us to a church, to a group of born-again Christians. So God called Abraham, God picked Abraham and sent him to the land of Canaan. Why? So that he can fulfill the plans for him. He was separated. Just like that, we born-again Christians too are separated from this world to fulfill his plans and purpose. We do not belong to this world anymore. We are chosen. So we are called by God and separated from this world. Philippians 5:6 says, from the day of our salvation, God called us to this salvation, to this fellowship. Then the fellowship with brothers and sisters, we stay here. So Psalms 133:1, it's pleasing to see fellow brothers and sisters have fellowship all the time. We have the same hope, same Holy Spirit, and same truth. We are one. For the remaining of our life, we live together. Such that looks beautiful before God's eyes. Ephesians 4:3 says, so we have to keep this unity of Holy Spirit. We have this bind. We are bound by this Holy Spirit. We need to keep this. We have the same life and same hope, same love, and same Holy Spirit. We are united. We are one. So we've already become one. When you're born by same parents, then you are a family. You are a member of a family. And if you're born in Korea, then you are, whether you like it or not, you're still Korean. You have nationality of Korean. Just like that, we are a child of God. We will spend eternity in heaven. And in this world too, whether we like it or not, we are together. And for the rest of our lives, we have to follow certain customs and rules and ways of life. And you must remember that we are a member of that group. It's not your choice. You can't choose this. It's not your choice. God chose you to do that. Corinthians says, Greeks or Jewish, doesn't really matter. Of course, Jewish. There was no discrimination between Greeks or Jewish. As same Holy Spirit, they've become one. They received the same baptism, same Holy Spirit. They drank the same water of Holy Spirit and are fed with same grace of God. So don't forget that we are one. When a toddler was born, he will see grandparents, parents, siblings, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, and they learn that they are not alone. They are in a part of, he's a member of a whole family. Just like that, after being saved, we are a member of this church, of this congregation. Same Jesus and same God. In this world, we have a job, parents, house. It's only a mean. It's just only a tool. What's more important is that we live our life by the guidance of God. And this is the most important thing you should know after born again. If you look at a beast, wild animals, they're first born. And these baby animals search for their moms, right? And not only moms, and they are stuck in the in a group. They're protected by a group. And when a baby animals are in a group, they are protected. Every animal is like that. The birds in the sky, eagles, pigeons, doesn't really matter. They all are in a group. They cannot live by themselves. They have to stay in the herd. And they are properly fed and properly protected. But once an animal leaves the group, what happens? Then they are risk. They are at risk of their lives. They are exposed to danger. Even all this wild all this vicious animals like tigers and all that, even they cannot live alone. Even they are in a group. And we too, we individuals are so vulnerable and we lack in many things. But God gives us protection. How? He doesn't give us protection individually. He put us in a group and raised us in church, in this group, and lead us in here. So you cannot possibly live a good Christian life by leaving this congregation. So when an infant is born, it's first protected by family, parents, and as he gets older, he goes to school, gets older and older. Now he works for a company and work with co-workers and colleagues. So gradually this baby grows and grows and become more independent. Likewise, when we are first born again, I'm not talking about our biological age. I'm talking about spirit. And we too, we stay together in church and have fellowship. So fellowship is fellowship in English. What does it mean? We mingle and we spend time together. And church is Ecclesiastes in Greek. And this church, what's the purpose of this church? Is to separate us from this world. And through church, he gives us guidance and teachings and provide us with protection. And not being here means you cannot take advantage of all those things. When I was first born again for 10 years, I tried to preach gospel by myself. And I tried to preach, and I thought I had the strongest faith. But eventually, before I was born again, I used to be a pastor and try to preach gospel, really try to preach the word of God really hard. But I realized that I wasn't really born again. So later, I eventually realized true love of God and truly became born again. So after my salvation, I was lost. I didn't know what to do for 4 years. I wondered. And I was like, to preach gospel, I need to receive power of Holy Spirit. So I visited all these different prayer houses. I visited all these popular, famous, special pastors and tried to consult them to receive the power of Holy Spirit, but after that I realized they have no power. eventually I found out about church, the true power of church. So upon the discovery, I tried to abide in church, and every day I had new understanding of Bible, and I was able to establish true meaning of salvation and having a fellowship in church. From then on, I just automatically people were saved. The Gospel of John 15:3 says, I am the grape, I am the vine, and you abide in me. Through branches you bear fruits. So God is the farmer who grows vine, and we, and vine is Jesus Christ, and we abide in him. What's the purpose of the vine tree? To get grapes. But then the fruits come from the branches. So we are the branches, born-again Christians are branches, and we abide in the tree. Doing that, we make fruits. And that's the only way. So when we say we abide in God, we stay with God, that means we stay in this church. And Jesus Christ is the head, we are the body. You are the parts of the body. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, so we are the body of Christ, and Jesus Christ is the body, and we individuals, we are small parts of the whole body. We have one body, but there are many parts: fingers, eyes, nose, ears, fingers, legs, and inside there are many organs. So all together it becomes one body. So God put us in this bodily of church. If you think of a finger, so Jesus Christ is the head. But imagine if your finger is stuck on your forehead. That would look weird and odd. Move your fingers. Your finger listens to you. And blink your eyes. You can do that. Why? Because all our body parts are connected to brain, to head. And if there's a problem with the connections and communication with your head and body, your finger wouldn't move, wouldn't budge. And from head, all these nutritions are flow in, and all this blood circulates within your body. So all together, it's connected. Just as branches are abide in tree, we also need to abide in Jesus Christ. And how? By abiding in church. It's the same thing. This is a secret. It's a hidden thing. It is something we must learn and understand, the secrets of church. That's why I repeatedly try to teach you this. So some people claim that they are born again. They say, oh, I'm just going to live my Christian life by myself. It's going to be passionately do everything I can do by myself. But that's not right. You're not born again by yourself. You're born again through help of other people. It's the same thing. As you live your Christian life, you have to stay guidance of God. So, how can you stay in church? By learning how important church is. So today, the sermon is about Holy Spirit. And when you listen to sermons, it's the Holy Spirit that help you understand salvation. So Holy Spirit, help us understand the grace and love of God. It's the Holy Spirit who helps you understand the salvation. It says in the Bible, you receive the word of God not by the word of human. You receive it as word of God. And that was possible thanks to Holy Spirit with certainty, with power of God. Your salvation, you receive salvation concretely, firmly. So it's not unstable. So what's the core message of this Bible? That God is love. God so loved the world. And under that love, you put in your name there. And you so and so, I love you so much that he gave his only begotten son. And how much? The only son was crucified on the cross. It says in Romans that he didn't spare his only son. He was willing to give up his only son to prove his love toward us. We're all destined to go to hell. But to prevent that, God gave up his only son to crucifixion. Ephesians chapter 2 and below says, before we were born again, we were swindled. We were carried about by the Satan. We are predestined to under the wrath of God and curse of God. We were sinners, but with the precious grace and love of God, this great love, God revive us through the love of Jesus Christ. God had compassion on us. This murderer killed 100 people and he said, oh, have compassion on me. By the law, he has to die. We have to put him into capital punishment. But if Jesus says, I forgive you, I have compassion for you, then it's possible. That's the size of God's compassion. God is the one who created the world. God is the one who has power over death. And without any conditions, God claims he will not remember. God states that he will not condemn us for our sins. He is the judge. He's the judge, and that's what he's claiming. This love is so great, so big, that we can't even fathom the true magnitude of it. So that's the God who gave us salvation. He decided to forgive all our transgressions. When we understand that love, that's the day of your salvation, then you are born again. God so loved the world that he gave up his only son to death. So whoever believes in him, we shall not be punished. So believe, what does it mean by believe? We believe the love of God and we are not punished anymore. And when we truly understand that love, that is the day of your salvation. So that love of God is poured into our heart and that love stays within our heart. This fire of love is spurring in my heart, and Holy Spirit is now in me. Let's glorify God. So God help us understand his love, but he didn't stop there. He poured his Holy Spirit in us, and the Holy Spirit didn't leave after that. He still abides in us. So Jesus, the Lord who redeemed all our sins, still stay within us. It's very difficult to understand, but thanks to love of God and Holy Spirit, we have the true understanding of salvation. And this love is so great. Let's give you an example. So this toddler was born, received so much love in the family, grows little by little, day after day. And when a baby grows and you, family, we all get very happy. And when this baby grows a little more, now he can help little chores. He grows a little more, he can inherit his father's company, his father's work. As this baby grows and grows, eventually he can help out his own family members. For an infant, we don't expect anything. We just tell them, "Oh, grow, be healthy, eat your food." That's what we expect from a baby. But as time passes, this baby grows, we have more expectation on him. So 1 Corinthians 2:2. Yearn for the holy milk, just as little babies desire for milk, we need to desire for the milk of Word of God, which is Word of God. And as we are constantly fed with words of God, our spirit grows and grows. So there are different types of salvations. The one is salvation of our soul. And another type of salvation is salvation of your behavior. It's edification. And as you grow in God and church, then you are given responsibilities. So this baby grows biologically, characteristically, and do more things for family. If a baby doesn't grow, stops growing after 10 years, 20 years, and this child can't do anything, so dependent on parents, and this person has a problem. Of course, as a child, we get help, they get help. They can help each other, but as this baby, this person grows, now he can help out others. And as a person gets older, he accepts his responsibilities and do them. And there are a lot of things to do in a large family. Somebody asked me this question: how many members do you have in your family? Oh, I'm not sure. And he said, you don't really know how many members you have in your family. And this person said, it's getting bigger and bigger. And I understood, oh, this person is referring to his brothers and sisters in church. Likewise, I have so many family members. It's tens of thousands. What about if you factor into Christians all over the world? It's larger and larger family. And every day, people are born again every day, and churches get larger in new countries. And now we have so many things to do. And I just have one body, but my mind runs busy all the time because my family is so big and there are so many chores, there are so many errands to run. And you're saying, oh, I'm not that busy. I don't have anything to do. No. You gotta help out. There are some responsibilities you can take, and those are the things I would like to tell you today. Romans 12 is talking about Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk about the work of Holy Spirit and how we live our Christian life in church with Holy Spirit. As I said earlier, Jesus Christ is the head, we are one body. And this book, this verse, is the best description of church. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Let's read it together. Let's read it again. 12:3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, the Apostle Paul is saying, the grace given to me. So what is the first grace? It's the salvation of a soul. And Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of grace because God's grace gives salvation to people. The grace of God is so powerful that it makes people move from hell to heaven. And people were cursed under the power of Satan. But with grace and gospel of God, people are freed and become children of God. So we cannot abandon this responsibility of preaching gospel to others. So we are given this mission, this task. And God gave a special lessons to Apostle Paul about the secrets of church. Before Apostle Paul was saved, he persecuted church. He killed Stephen. He tried to kill born-again Christians. He wandered around capturing born-again church members. But God made him kneel down and made him repent and receive salvation. From then on, Apostle Paul wrote many books in this Bible. In the Old Testament, Moses was the greatest prophet. In the New Testament, Apostle Paul was the greatest prophet. And Apostle Paul, in fact, wrote letters to churches. And in these letters, give best description and explanations of rules of church. So after salvation, Apostle Paul was given a task to teach Christians about the rules of church, about the secrets of church. For I say that through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, everyone who is among you. What is it referring to? This is, you know, there are some verses applying to individuals, and this is very important. We all have different faces. We all have different backgrounds. We are raised in different circumstances, different families, different characteristics. We all have different gifts and talents. So we need to find the things we can do. So what's the secrets of success in this world? By finding your true talent. You stop copying what others do. Why? Because we individuals have different talents. And when developing those talents lead to big success. And if you do the things that do not fit you against your nature, then usually you don't get a good result. Likewise, you don't copy other people's Christian lives. You don't just follow them. We all have the same purpose in Christ, it's true. But we need to employ different methods, different tools, and different ways. That's why Apostle Paul is telling this to every individual, not as a group. If one say, oh, I got nothing to do in church, that's a problem. But if you try to do things beyond your ability, it's a problem too. Ephesians 5:15 says, pay close attention and act wisely. Pay close attention into what you can do or you cannot do. So it's very important to understand that. So mark this page and let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. I'll read them for you. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to perfection man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So God has given different gifts to his saints, to his people. So in the beginning of church, there were some apostles and disciples. Apostles. Oh, disciples. Disciples are the ones who actually saw Jesus Christ. So through disciples, people were saved and Bible was written. And apostles and prophets. So what is prophets referring to? In the Old Testament, there was no Bible. So New Testament was not written. So in that time, God gave his words through prophets. Prophets gave prophecy, foretold the future. So those were the roles of prophets. Some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So we don't have apostles and prophets anymore. They were needed in the beginning before the Bible existed. But now we have evangelists. Their job is to preach gospel. And pastors and teachers, they teach words of God so that Christians can grow in their faith. So we preach gospel outwardly so that they can come back to Jesus Christ. And within church, we nurture born-again Christians spiritually. And it says in the Bible that feed my herd, feed my lamb. Shepherd, Jesus Christ is the shepherd. He's the leader. He's the head of shepherd. And we are the pastors and teachers are the small shepherds who tend lamb. And those are the people who were appointed by God, evangelists, pastors and teachers. The Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3, Barnabas, Apostle Paul's, they were appointed by God. And verse 12, what's the purpose of appointing them? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of body of Christ. First Corinthians 1:28 says, the purpose of teaching the words of God is to grow them in spirit, help them become more mature in Christ. So it says again, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of body of Christ. So as one's faith grows, they become more perfect, become more mature, and then they can partake serving God, serving church. So we must be involved in service. There are so many works to be done to preach the gospel, and we help immature Christians whose faith is yet fully grown. Think of a mom. Think of how moms raise their kids. Moms serve their kids, serve their babies. Just like that. You are here not to be served, but to serve. That's what Jesus did. He served his people. It's same with our Christian life. As we live our Christian life, we shouldn't be served. Our role, our job is to serve other Christians. The more your faith grows, the more work you must be involved. So you have so many different groups in our church. There are mother's group, father's group, and what's their purpose? So that they serve church. And we also give them different positions, the leader, assistant leader, and all that. And their job is not to be, their job is to serve others. And as our faith grows, and when we truly involve in service of church and serving God in church, this church grows for the perfection. And if just kids, bunch of kids gather around, it's chaos. You know, they like to goof around, and they like to play around, and they play with toys, dolls. Oh, they play house with, oh, they pretend to eat something and with the mud. It's just a play. So little kids can play it, but it's not a true life. It's not. But when these kids grow, they can actually involve in real work of house. Likewise, the more we devoted and committed to this church, the more this church grows. And when large number of Christians get actively involved in serving church, then this church becomes more concrete and stable. Jesus Christ is perfect, but if this body is not and doesn't follow the orders of head, then this is not a healthy body. So for this church to properly function, we need many Christians who are involved in serving church. And this is very important. You're not a single individual. You are a member of this body. You are parts of this body. And as our faith grows, we must follow the orders of Jesus Christ, who is our head. Then this church will be completed. Let's turn to verse 15, chapter 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. But speaking the truth in love, at first we understood the love of God. And we gradually learn the knowledge of God. So Ephesians 3:18 says, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. It's not measurable. The love, this great love of God is so big that it's not measurable. And after the fact that you are saved, you only understood a small portion of love. Babies know that their parents love him, but he doesn't know how much. So on Parents' Day, there's a song in Korea saying, the sky is very high, but the love of parents is higher than that. Sorry, I'm confused with lyrics. Anyhow, the love of God is higher than sky. But when parents tell him to do something, he doesn't listen. Do you think kids really understand the true love of God, the true love of parents? No, they do not know how big their parents' love is. Just like that, after we are born again, we only understood a small fraction of love of God. You cannot possibly understand. So it says here, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and depth, and height to know the love of Christ. How deep the love of God is? It's so deep that people were supposed to go deep down into the hell, the pits of hell, but God saved them. And how wide God's love is, how long the love of God is, think of salvation, it's eternity, it's forever. When you truly understand this love, you get filled with love of God. So Holy Spirit help you to understand the love of God gradually, little by little. And what's the fullness of Holy Spirit? What does it mean by fullness of Holy Spirit? It means you get filled with love of God. So you receive love of God, but it's only a portion of it. You're not 100% filled. Other part of your heart is filled with other things, the worldly things. You're not filled with love of God. And you love those who can give you advantages. No, you're being selfish. So that's why some Christians are back and forth in their Christian life, ups and downs. And some people started with the Holy Spirit, fullness of Holy Spirit, but they end with worldly things. So in the beginning, some Christians love other brothers and sisters regardless of their education, wealth, characteristics. But as time passes, they only love brothers and sisters who are in a similar situation, so who can give them benefits, and they keep distance from Christians who are uncomfortable. So they start with Holy Spirit, but finished with worldly things. But when your heart is truly filled with Holy Spirit, you can love others as if Jesus Christ loves you. And just as God loves us, if your enemy is hungry or thirsty, Jesus feed them. And you can do the same thing. So what does it mean by the growth of our faith? It's that we can love our enemies, give them food when they're hungry, give them water when they're thirsty. Sometimes we curse our enemies, I hope they die soon. That's our nature. But you don't love your enemies. That's not true love. We're not talking about humanly love. We're talking about godly love. And Jesus knew Iscariot, Judas will betray Jesus. He knew about it all along. Until the end, Jesus Christ loved him. And Jesus loved everyone from beginning to the end. And Jesus cleaned feet of everyone. Did Jesus say, "Oh, get away from me, you're going to betray me"? No. No, Jesus Christ, Jesus express his love even for him. So no one even had a single doubt that anyone who betrayed Jesus. And disciples said, "Is it me? Is it me?" But nobody knew. You know, Jesus Christ gave many signs and hints that Judah will betray him, but no one knew. So when you meet your enemy, you show it through your facial expressions or your temper. And you get furious against your enemy. You yell at him. You get filled with anger. Jesus knew Judah would never repent. But at first I didn't understand why Jesus did that. Why? Because Jesus wanted to show us that he forgives everyone. We don't go to hell. People do not go to hell because of their sins. No. They go to hell because they do not accept the love of God, love of Jesus Christ. Same with Judah too. If Judah didn't commit suicide, if only he waited until Jesus Christ was resurrected, he would have gone to heaven. And if Judah didn't commit suicide, probably Jesus found Judah first after the resurrection. Jesus would have gone to Judah and forgave his sins. But Judah understood how serious his sin was, but he didn't understand how big the love of Jesus was. Not only Judah, the same with all the non-born again people. They are not destructed. They won't go to hell because of their sins, because of their own sins. It's because they do not accept the love of God. So when our heart is truly filled with love of God, we can love others as Jesus did to us. We can behave and think and act like Jesus Christ when our heart is filled with His love. When Stephen was stoned to death, do you know how he prayed? He was injured, his bones were broken, he got bruises and cut. But did Stephen say, "Punish them for me, take revenge for me"? No, what did Stephen say? Stephen prayed for those who were stoning him. Stephen was praying for their forgiveness of their sins. Stephen said, "They do not know what they are doing. Forgive their sins." And think of Jesus Christ on the cross. While he was crucified, he prayed for people who are crucifying him. Same thing. Same Jesus Christ was inside of Stephen when he was being stoned. We can have the same Jesus Christ inside of us. When you get touched and filled with love of Jesus Christ, with the same love, we can forgive others. Corinthians, it talks about true love. Love does not envy, does not boast, does not and get pleased with truth. And all this descriptions of the lists of characteristics of love. And those are the characteristics of Jesus Christ. Those are the personal traits of Jesus Christ. And when we truly abide in Jesus, that love, love explained in Corinthians, can happen to us. We can have that kind of love and that kind of heart. So when we are filled with that love, we get filled with Holy Spirit. We become fullness of Holy Spirit. And if you still have hatred for someone, you still easily get offended and quick to anger, and some Christians even get into fist fights. So in all things we grow in Jesus Christ. In doing all things and everything we do, we must reach Jesus Christ. We must resemble Jesus Christ. Galatians 4:19 says, to Galatian church members, Apostle Paul said, "I go through the pain of labor so that you become like Jesus Christ, so that the characteristics of Jesus Christ might happen in you." Giving a birth is difficult, true, but it's just one-time thing. But raising children is far more challenging. You're like, "Oh, when is he get mature? When is he going to do things by himself?" It takes a long time. It takes patience. But parents never abandon their kids. So Apostle Paul said, "I go through the pain of labor so that you become more mature in Christ, so that Jesus Christ happens in you." So receive not only the life of Jesus Christ, but we follow His image. We follow Jesus Christ's footsteps and characteristics. So have this heart, the heart of Jesus Christ. So you know the heart of Jesus Christ. He is patience and peace. So carry my burdens, carry my cross, said Jesus. So what does it mean by having a peaceful heart? In all situations, you do not complain, whether you take credits or not, whether you are recognized or not, you do what you ought to do. And think of a lamb. When a lamb is about to be killed, butchered, the lamb is still quiet. It doesn't make a sound. Just like that. And think of Jesus. And when he was slapped in the face, what did he do? He didn't complain. He didn't talk back. He didn't cuss back. No. Quietly and patiently, Jesus took all the shame, all the brutality. And Jesus Christ accepted all the pains. And that's the gentle heart. That's the kind heart. Jesus is beyond gentle and kind. It's more than that. So the kind heart of Jesus means humility. Become humble before God. Think of Jesus Christ. He was the king of the world, but he acted as a slave, as a servant. So you gotta look into yourself, whether you are sitting on the head of God, whether you are acting above God, above Jesus Christ. So when born-again Christians are first receive salvation, they're very humble. But as time passes, they become kind of cocky and arrogant. They act as if they know everything. But that's not right. Be more humble. Slowly, this arrogance sneak into you. So, if you truly want to follow the heart of Jesus Christ, it can happen to you. In all things. In all things we do. Our behaviors and thoughts, everything. And gradually, we become more like Jesus Christ. Of course, we are far much better than non-believers. That's true. And many years, you try to live your best Christian life. Of course, you are more mature than newly born again Christians. But we still have a long way to go before we become more like Jesus. We are not there yet. Do not compare yourself. Do not compare yourself with wealthy people in this world. Then you won't live a happy Christian life. There are so many people who are under poverty, who are underprivileged. Those are the people we should care for. You know, I've been traveling all over the world preaching gospel. There are so many people, impossibly poor. And looking at them, we are blessed, we are lucky. But why do you compare yourself with all these wealthy people? And that's not a true happiness. You cannot be happy doing that. Apostle Paul had nothing. And he said, I am satisfied with food I can eat, with garments I can put on, places I can sleep. And spiritually, do not be comforted by those who are weak in their faith. Always look up to the Christians who have strong faith, have respect for them, and try to mimic them, try to follow them. And be near to those who have strong in faith. Make them as your role model. But even then, you still have a long way to go. Because, you know, even those people have a long way before they reach Jesus Christ, the level of Jesus Christ. Same for me too. So sometimes I think, oh, how close am I to Jesus Christ? And I still feel like I have so much work to be done, and I still have a long way to go. And we grow forever before we meet Jesus Christ. And Peter says, we grow in knowledge of Jesus Christ every day, eternally. We resemble more and more like Jesus Christ, and even our flesh will transform into a holy being. And this is a Christian life. So you just come to church, go home, and you sit back, and as an audience, you just look, and oh, the ceremony's not bad. Is that a Christian life? There are religious people who are far much better than that, who try far more energy into that, but it's not a true Christian life. God wants to make us a better Christian. Just as it says in the Bible, our target is Jesus Christ. Our target is to become more like God, more like Jesus Christ. And eventually our flesh, our body becomes holy. And this is the attitude you should keep. Do not compare yourself who are weak in their faith. No, don't be comforted by that. A role model is Jesus Christ. That's the level we need to reach. And we ought to look at the Jesus Christ who perfects us. Look at him. So what does it mean by looking at him? There's a painter and a model. So this painter draws in every detail, eyebrow, hair. And some professional painters are really detailed and really meticulous in their drawing. Likewise, we need to study Jesus Christ in depth, in detail, and apply that in your daily life, in your heart, in your everyday life. You draw Jesus Christ in your life. We should look up to Jesus Christ who perfects our life. And so Jesus Christ is our head. And we have to take the orders from our head. And there are certain orders Jesus is giving us. And our job is to obey to them. One day you're like, you obey to them, and the other day you don't feel like doing that, so you don't do them. And there's nothing a head can do if you stop following the orders. So your head says, oh, today you have to go there by that time, but your body is like, oh, I don't feel like doing that, I feel lazy. No. We have to diligently follow the messages of God. Ephesians 4:16, it says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. So joined and knit together as one body. So our brain secretes hormones, growth hormones, and from that, our body functions. We get nutrition. The nerves are all connected. So every little joint, we are supplied. So our body is fed with nutrition as a tunnel. It's all connected with each other. You don't directly get the nutrition on your fingers, on your feet. No. Through the whole body, we are fed. And we're supplied with necessary hormones and nutritions. So you are needed. Every single brothers and sisters are needed. That's why God is trying to give you the lessons and teachings and wisdom so that you can grow and stay in this body. So, as a whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. So there's a role for eyes, ears, mouth. So all these body parts have their roles and their duties. A car is made of 20,000 small parts, and there's this one functioning car. Likewise, our body are all very important, very essential. It says, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, they have their own share. So, their shares for their hands, feet, they work together, knit together, get supplied, and then causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Only then this body becomes perfect. It constantly mentions growth and growth and growth. It says one body, it grows as one. And the love of God perfected in that body. So it says in the Bible, no one has seen God, but when we truly love each other, then the love of God abides in us. God is invisible. It's intangible. Of course, it's in us. But when we are together and truly love each other, then the power and work of God reveals through us. And so God works among you. But if you are alone, all left alone, God cannot truly reveal His power. But when you are together and love each other, then the love of God reveals itself. Think of a body, if a finger can't do much for the body. No. It says in Ephesians, as a group, I cannot do it, but we can do it. I cannot do it by myself, but we, as a group, we can. It's according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love, through the love of God. So church started with love of God. And through love of Jesus, body grows and perfected. So, the love of God perfects you, perfects this church. Not through words, but true love is embodied. The true love of God is substantiated. Let's go back to Romans 12. Romans 12. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. It says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone, individually. We have one heart beating, and there are some messages we need to understand individually. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So you gotta do the things you can do. There are some things you need to do. So in this world, you need to understand yourself, your capability. Be like, oh my, you're capability, your ability is this level, but you try to do more than that, it causes a lot of problems. The same in church too. So you should not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. So, example, you know, mouth eats food. But if this hand says, I want to eat food too, so start try to eat food with hands. Is that possible? No, it is impossible. So being natural is important. So don't try to do the things more than you can. And if you try to do more than you can, that's arrogance. That's being cocky. In a house, in a family, there are rules for parents, brothers, sisters, youngest siblings. Even at a company, people have different jobs, different responsibilities. Team leaders do leading, and subordinates do their works. Likewise, God has given different talents and gifts to Christians. So it says in Corinthians, we all have different gifts according to God's will. Even if you want to do something, you just simply don't have the gift, then you shouldn't do it. And God is the one who gives you the gift, not because you want to have it. So according to His plan, Holy Spirit gives gifts according to their faith. And if someone's faith is strong, then they have more responsibilities. And if their faith is weak, but there's still some things you can do. And we all have different jobs, different works. And you don't choose that. God does. So it's very important to behave wisely. Try to do more than that. That's arrogance. But if you don't do the things you should have done, then it's also an act of disobedience. So think wisely. Be more knowledgeable in what you can do and you cannot do. Do not overestimate yourself. Like, oh, they try to do things that they cannot do. There are some rules for sisters and rules for brothers. And some people say, so this, some sisters try to do the works of brothers. No. That's an act of disobedience. And some people have these wrong ideas. And they try to be a hero. And some people are so self-conscious and, oh, I can't do anything. I'm incompetent. And even if you have a special gift, don't be cocky. No, you cannot. Some people say, I only have a small gift, it's not so special, but don't be self-conscious. No. You are a special, special member of this church. We all need you. Eyes are important, nose, mouth, hands, feet, it's all very essential. Fingers are also very important. And what about inside? You know, all these organs in our body, we cannot see them. But that's, if you think of a heart, we cannot see it. But if it stops beating, will be dead. So every single member in this church is needed. So you may think that all pastors, evangelists, deacons, leaders, we have in this church, we have some people in positions, but do you think they are so special? No, they're just given, they are chosen by God. But it's not that special. They're just, you know, part of this body, part of this member. So whether you are in position or not, from God's view, you are still very important member of this church. So there are two important responsibilities. Outside of church, you preach gospel, try to bring people to salvation. But inside of this church, our job is to nurture born-again Christians, help them grow in their faith. There's so many responsibilities, and there are so many services we can get involved with. But if you say, oh, I got nothing to do, there's nothing I can do. No. Find it, seek it, and there will be some things you can do. Even the small things, you can take part in it. When you obey to small things, you obey to bigger things. There are so many things I need to tell you, but we need to finish early because we have this outdoor markets going on. So I'm just gonna go ahead and finish it here today. Our merciful Heavenly Father God, with your precious blood, you've given us salvation. We're eternally thankful for that. We are destined to be punished by your wrath, but you saved us from that and gave us glorious hope of entering heaven for the rest of our lives. As a bodily member of this church, give us strength and wisdom so that we may be able to fulfill the responsibilities in this church. So by the time we stand before you, let us not be ashamed. And we know that you always work with us, and so we ask you to use us for your plans. I ask all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's praise a hymn 278.